If you have your Bible with you, please keep it open. We've got like six verses, verse 12 to verse 17 of Matthew 4. It'd be really good to follow it really together. I want to begin my sermon by pointing this to you, that we live in times where we wait for remarkable things to take place. We wait for God to move and meet us in our own circumstances. We look for God to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers. But sometimes they don't come really as we hope. They delay sometimes. They come in different forms sometimes, so it causes us to think. And I think this is true for the time when God was going to come closer to his own people, was going to send his son Jesus Christ, was going to manifest his kingdom in this world. Because that is what this text is all about, the coming of the kingdom, the arrival of the kingdom of God. In the person of Jesus Christ. But God has designed that this has to happen in an orderly way. For he is a God who cannot be pushed to action. His plans are perfect and he does them right. And we are, as his own people, we are to learn his ways, how he does things, how he meets our needs, how he speaks to us. We see here the first things that God was in charge of the whole plans of salvation. And Jesus Christ himself leaving where he was in Galilee and coming down to Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. And because the time was drawing closer to the commencement of his ministry that he will announce shortly in verse 17. But first of all, Jesus had to wait until John the Baptist himself to be put into prison. That is what we see in verse 12, that Jesus commences his ministry only when John was arrested and was put in jail. That was when Jesus started to say, this is the time for him to move and to come and declare officially the arrival of his kingdom. Well, John the Baptist himself, you have heard him, he said he must decrease and Christ himself must increase. And so in God's providence, this might be the way for John to withdraw from the picture, from the scene. And God has ordained it in that way. It might be a harsh way to do it, you see, because some people would think like, why God would do it this way? I think 2 days ago, I spent like really a lengthy time with a young man I met outside of Coles. And we chatted like nearly for a long time. I think I got home like 12:30 midnight, after midnight. Just standing outside of the Coles close. We started like 11. And just a random young man who had really serious questions about the kingdom of God. And the things he was saying, why God can't come and solve the problem of the world? There is too much suffering. A lot of people are thinking that way. Well, some people say, like, why John was to be put into jail and later on he will be even beheaded. And yet he was still in the will of God, the great prophets of God, filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb of his mother, set apart by God to be a man of God. To speak the truth. Well, Jesus had to wait to that time. So we see God moves in order. His plans are perfect. Shall that encourage you? Because you sit here and you don't know what is going on. Been praying for these things to happen and it's not happening. Well, certainly people were waiting. You see, people were sitting in darkness, we are told. And Jesus will quote this. People sitting in darkness, they were waiting for the light to shine. And all of us, many times, we wait for this great light from God. For we wait for a way, a door to be opened. God to get involved in our circumstances. Some of us go through difficult things. Well, our Lord had to wait. And he withdrew and he returned to Galilee. You see, yeah, he returned and he was withdrawing because he doesn't need to start fighting and to face the oppositions. Not because he cannot face it, but because that was what he was to fulfill. What was designed by the living God himself. Because God cannot be pushed into action. So Jesus, he left Jordan. And he went to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum. This place is Capernaum is heavily populated by Gentiles and Jews. It was a place where there's a lot of fishing, isn't it? There must be businesses, and it was the most populated area in Transjordan, in that area. And Jesus withdrew, and he went there. Why? Why he had to go there? The Bible tells us he was to fulfill. He was to fulfill a promise that was promised 700 years before. Because Jesus was not just coming to do his own. He was coming under a program. A program that his Father has designed for him. And as an obedient servant of God. And he had to go exactly. He cannot forget. The power of God, the divine necessity, was laid on him to go and to fulfill the plans of God. So that what is written in the Old Testament might be fulfilled. And especially the book of Matthew was written for the Jews. So they know this is their Messiah. This is their servant. The Messiah that was going to come for them. And yet in this area also there were a lot of Gentiles. He's going to be the Lord of all, Jesus Christ. And deliberately he was going there. Because the Galilee of the nations, the Gentiles, that is the word. So Jesus had to go there. And you know, sometimes we want to go to the point, isn't it? Verse 17, that is what we want. But Jesus went delayed before he could get there, isn't it? In our day, in our lives here, we are impatient with everything. We just want to get to the point. Just tell me. So you miss out, really, the preparation. Because actually we know one thing that we need to do is to repent, isn't it? To get into the kingdom and also even to continue in the kingdom. So Jesus did this. He went and he lived there to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. What was said? You see? Well, we think it was land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali that was in darkness, people living, worshipping idols. They were Gentiles and even the Jewish nation, they were in a state of apostasy. Well, how about our days today? If you listen to that boy I was listening to outside that shopping center, he was telling me terrible things he had experienced himself. And he thought like, this world is being ruled by Satan. As a young boy, he said he had an experience where he was sleeping and then just really a dark power just came upon him, left him in the morning blind completely. He went into a deep depression and started to abuse substances, was expelled from his school. And he read widely after that. And then he said his vision really improved just suddenly, just out of nowhere. And he said, I believe Jesus really came and helped me with that. Even he wants to know Jesus. And that's why he asked me a lot of questions. He said, this world is being ruled by Satan, isn't it? He said, look at the presidents around the world. They are all Freemasons. That was what he said to me. And he said, and even he knows about Freemasonry. I was amazed. And he said, in Freemasonry, people, this group of people, they know something, and then people above them know better, and then until you get into the higher points. And he is only young, this guy. And he is so troubled, really, by what is happening in the world. I said, well, I have seen this a lot. I travel a lot. And he was just so amazing. He said, oh, yeah, you are doing a great job. He thought I was doing a great job sharing the good news with him. And he said, if I were to be a head of a church, I would just sponsor all your trips to share the gospel. He just had a heart for that. So in our days today, people are living in darkness. They don't know who they are, who is God, and really what are they here for? Does God have good plans for their lives? Yes, certainly God has good plans for his own people. That is why he would not forget people living in darkness in the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. And certainly he does not forget about you and I today who are sitting here. He got the best plans for you. He wants to touch you. He wants to show you the reason for which he has created you. And he wants to show you more. You and I, we know nothing, isn't it? We cannot even predict tomorrow what is going to happen. We can never predict that. But Jesus knows that. Even he knows if you are a single man, he knows even the woman that is going to fall in love with you after 2 years or 3 years, or even maybe 2 months to come, or maybe 1 month, or maybe after a few hours. That would be a miracle, isn't it? But God does that. He is able to do that. He didn't forget about these people. And also, certainly, he wanted to be the faithful prophet, servant of his father. And that is why we can trust him. If you can follow the line of our thoughts when we started to introduce to you who is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God who came from heaven with Old Testament backing, saying that this is the one. This is Christ. And that is why I just cannot turn into just a media or any prophet. Because you need to investigate his background, you see. Where is he coming from? Maybe he's just coming from another estate. So to fulfill. So when he came there, coming there, so what he was going to do, really people are going to respond to that. There will be few people who will reject that. Like in our days today, there will be people who will respond to the gospel, but some will not. And this is the promise that was promised that these people, Jesus will come, and as he come to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way to see along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And that great light that Jesus brings. And Jesus himself in John 8:12, didn't he say that he is the light of the world? Whoever believes in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You shall have the light of life. You will not stumble. You will know your pathway. You will just discern quickly what is of evil and what is of for your blessings. And he will give you the wisdom on how to act on different occasions. Even complicated things, he will just give you an intelligence that is not of yours, that is coming from above, to avoid troubles. And so these people have seen a great light, and this light is in the person of Jesus Christ himself. On those living in the land of the shadow of death. You see, now the wage of sin is death. The darkness comes, as has been ushered in by sin itself. Sin is what is referred to as darkness, isn't it? So now there is light, isn't it? And yet if someone in living in sin, he's living in darkness. That is a metaphor for sin and sinfulness and living outside of the kingdom of God. That is called darkness. Because the work of the darkness are described to us in the Bible, isn't it? The work of darkness. Adultery, sexual immoralities, hatred, jealousy, competition. You see, killing. Today you see people killing with no fear of God. And they can shout as if they are serving God, isn't it? So these are the work of darkness. Rebellious, pride, these are the work of darkness. False worship, idol worshiping, is a form of darkness. Tattoos and a lot of things that people just taking pride in these things that they can just show on their bodies. Form of darkness. Drugs, alcohol, the form of bondages that sin brings into someone's life and darkens their life. The strife, fighting. Even while I was standing with this young man, a guy was like a bike. If you live in that area, this guy maybe is well known in that area. And we couldn't even hear what we were saying, and we had to stop. And this guy, he made a few comments. He said, "Oh, that is amazing." He said, "I wouldn't want to do something like that, unless it's a sport car in a race." Even having no sense of respect for others around you is a form of darkness, pride, self-centeredness. And so these people were living in the shadow of death, and now they are promised that a light has dawned. And this light, as I said, is coming in the through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now he got us to this point. And when he wanted to really to say to these people that the kingdom of God has come now. The kingdom of God. God now is drawing near. God is drawing closer. And this kingdom that I'm bringing is where people will know the salvation of God. Is God coming to rescue you from your sin? And those people, they were waiting for a kingdom that was political many times. A kingdom where there will be no enemies. A kingdom where there will be no diseases, isn't it? A kingdom where there will be no strife. There will be no hunger. Well, that was not the kingdom Jesus was going to bring. Jesus was coming to take away our sins and to make us realize why we were created in the image of God, and to make us know ourselves that we are sinners and we are going to hell if we are not going to respond to the message of the kingdom. And God is coming now, is demanding, is a time of judgment as well. If those who will choose not to repent and follow Christ, they judge themselves and they will be outside of the kingdom of God, the rule of God, where Christ reigns with righteousness, with holiness, with dignity, and with love, and with patience. And so now Jesus is saying, now the kingdom has come, is at hand, is open for all who will believe. So now the subject of repentance stands between us, between the kingdom of God and between sinners like you and I. And it's only through repentance that we enter into the presence of Christ and shall receive his forgiveness for many sins we have done in the past. Because his blood is able, is sufficient to wipe out all your sins. And if you think that is not the case, let me give you an example in the Bible. Apostle Paul, he was a killer. Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was a learned man, intelligent. He belonged to the religious group of Jews, Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee, a scholar of the Old Testament. And so he would just examine all of us if we are really following the faith of Israel. And if he finds us like really in the wrong, he will accuse us of that, and he will drag people into jails and to be punished. And so Stephen, he was a follower of Christ. Paul himself dragged him before Sanhedrin, and he had debate with these people. And finally, they were angry with him when he was telling them that you are sinners, you do not observe the true word of God, and see Christ himself when he came preaching repentance, you killed him. And people were, this man was stoned to death, Stephen, the first martyr in Christianity. And Apostle Paul himself, he was standing there. And at his feet were the clothes of people who were killing that man. He was a killer, isn't it? He confessed that. But Jesus Christ appeared to him on his road to Damascus and said, "Saul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are killing my followers. Now you shall be blind. I'm raising you up to go and to speak of my name, to extend this forgiveness to others. This message of the gospel, the good news, that God loves the whole world. And I love you. That is why I don't want to kill you, but I will transform your life. And I tell you truly that the kingdom of God has come upon you. And now, by the grace of God and by the love of God, he will be captivated, you know, by this message. And he will be a different person. He will just go now and he will be persecuted by the very people that he was aligning himself with, killing Christians. It's true. The kingdom of Jesus Christ brings transformation. And so now he moves. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent. And today, that is the message that his disciples, his followers are preaching and also practicing. So repentance is a way to get to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If you never repent, you will never enter into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So you say, I repent of what I haven't done anything. So I have not fought one before. I'm a good person. No, you are born off with your sin. You are a sinner. So you need to repent of this sin. You are active, also engaged in sinful behavior. Even you think, I'm not. You are. And you need to repent and to say sorry and to turn to Jesus Christ fully and denounce your previous ways so that you will receive the forgiveness for your sins and not come to the judgment. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, is available, is at hand, because I have come into your presence. That is what Jesus is coming to preach to these people. And onward, from now, from that very times, he will be preaching this message for people to come to salvation and to receive the forgiveness of their sins all the way to the cross of Calvary. Also, repentance is the language of the believers themselves. We are not perfect. We are sinners. Every day, sinners saved by grace, we sin. We sin with our thoughts, with our eyes, our attitudes. Also, we need to be repenting all the time and to ask the Lord, search me if there is any wicked way in me. It doesn't matter if you have been a Christian for 90 years, 70 years, 50 years. Still, this is the language that we need to exercise, to remain in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and receive all the blessings that are there. Because we will have an intimate relationship with Christ as we continue to repent in our walk with him. Sins of pride, competitions, criticism of others, a lack of love, you see, all sorts of sin, competitions, self-centeredness, selfishness, all these are symptoms of sin. And as you continue to repent of all these things, you grow in the knowledge of Christ. You grow in the holiness, sanctification, what we call. And then you can discover the plans of God for yourself and even to be used for the blessings of others. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand because anytime you can enter, and also for everybody who believes. Now, I want to draw your attention to these four facts. That God, as we apply this word to us, when Jesus came to emerge and to preach the kingdom of God, first things he impressed upon our hearts is the fact that God is in charge of his own plans. God is in charge of his own plans. And no one is to take actions really before the times that the Lord God himself has designed for us. That is one thing. Number two, also God knows enough. He knows enough of all the events of this world. He knows the places, isn't it? He knows where Zebulun and Naphtali are, isn't it? That's why Jesus had to go to Capernaum, the place designed. God knows that. And Jesus, who is a faithful servant of his Father, our Lord and our Savior, he knows exactly the place. Moving to Galilee was the divine purpose, was designed by God himself. And we can apply this for our lives. God has designed everything perfect for you. And all that you need to put your trust, full trust in the Lord, your Savior. The one who left the splendor of heaven and came into this world. He knows everything. He knows what he is doing. He moves, and maybe you are the next station for Christ to come and move and touch you. If you would repent and open your heart to him. Also, thirdly, we need to know that the whole world is for Jesus. The whole world. That is why Jesus, he said, he came first. He was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But also, he is going to be the Lord of the whole universe. He's the Savior of the world. And that is why he moved into that. So you don't say, Jesus is for others. Jesus is for you. If you only believe in him. He's your Lord and your Savior and your Master. And you can commune with him. He can be your shepherd to lead you in the right ways. So Jesus Christ moving into Capernaum. And you will realize there he will start to raise up his disciples from that place. Where Jesus goes, he can raise up people for himself. And when he comes to you, you don't know what he is going to do with you. He might raise you up for a single mission that is going to touch other people's lives. Fourthly, as I mentioned earlier, you don't have to do a lot of things if you think you are a sinner, a worse sinner, even if you have never been to church before. All that you need to see is to see your estate that you need forgiveness for your sins, for the time you spend away from Christ in itself. And then as you repent, because repentance, that is just the single thing that you need to be able to enter into a great communion with Christ. That is how we access this, because it's not by might, not by power. There's nothing you could do in any other way. Your money can never buy God forgiveness. Doing good to others will never save you. All that will save you is to open your heart to Christ and say, I have been a sinner. I just realized that without you, I'm lost. And now I open my heart to you. Please wash away my sins. I come to you. And as you do this, the Holy Spirit will come into your heart and will confirm to you that your sins are being forgiven. And as you start to read the Word of God and pray, and then the Holy Spirit will take more residence in you, and God will begin to open your eyes to the truth. And as you read it, and it will make sense to you, and it will be powerful and will transform your life. All who have come to know Jesus have been Christian for so long, that is a simple thing they have done. That is certainly what I did. You see, and then you say, well, I'm doing bad things now. Well, the Lord himself that has entered into your heart will begin to take your hand, and with him, he will begin to cleanse you one after another, one bondage after another. From smoking, I used to smoke as well, and the Lord just took it away from me. You see, I used to wear things really funny on my hands when I walk in this style. You see, and all these things, that just the Lord just take them away. Or took them away. So he can do the same thing for you today. You may think that I'm a member of a gang. Again, he will give you the confidence and the strength to break away from this, from these gangs. And also he will protect you from them, not to touch you anymore. You say, oh, they are around. Well, actually, they will be missing you all the time. You just pass this way and they come the other way, because the Lord is faithful and he can protect you. And he said, I'm a good shepherd. No one can snatch you in my hands. I lead my sheep, because you are like a sheep, you see, like myself. And Jesus is our good shepherd. He leads us beside the green pastures. Even if we walk in the shadow of the valley of death, we shall not fear evil, for he will be with us. That is the gospel that Jesus is bringing. And this is the gospel that a sinner like you and I be extended forgiveness and be set free to love God and to have joy in our hearts. That is why Jesus said, repent. And you know, this is what John said, and this is what the apostles are going to say. And I think that is what I'm going to as I move to finish. You see, his disciples, who in the first place received forgiveness of their sins through repentance, they started when they were told that now you are going to be my witnesses and you are going to share the good news with the lost, with the sinners. And the message you are going to do, to say to them, tell them that you are sinners, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We read that in Acts chapter 2. These men, when they stood there and preaching the gospel, Peter stood and he said to the people, you are sinners. Unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you repent, you will perish. That is what he says to them. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured that of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And then this man said, Peter, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, the apostle Peter, he said that. And they went on to say this all the way. That was their message. You see, it's a tough word, isn't it? But it's the best ever. It's the best word. Because through exercising of this truth, you have access into the blessings, abundant blessings. Again, in chapter 3, verse 19. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance when you were crucifying Christ, as did your leaders in the past. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, including even Isaiah chapter 9 that we read, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing, new thoughts, new directions, new life, new songs. You see, I used to listen to a lot of songs also from the world. I had even best my favorite singers. I like country music. Thankfully, I live in a time where really there were godly people in the music industry. So there was not altogether very bad. But as you come to know Jesus Christ and to have the songs of praises in your heart, it will be very difficult really to praise someone else and to listen to other cassettes, really. But if you are just beginning to walk with Christ, you will discover that later on, as you grow in the knowledge of Christ, as his Spirit takes residence in you, as he controls your life as your king and master, as his zeal will fill your heart, you will not really give credit to anyone else, just only to Christ alone. That is what they were saying. All these people, they were saying, forgiveness is through Christ. And God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. That is Acts 11, verse 18. Apostle Paul was declaring these things. And so we realize now that the kingdom of God is at hand. But the way to enter into this kingdom, as Jesus himself, our Lord, is telling us, revealing to us the secret to blessings, is to say, sorry, I've been living independently. I need you to touch my life, forgive my sins, and wash me clean. And then you will begin to walk with him. You see, this text comes after the baptism of Jesus, after preparation to start his public ministry, isn't it? And also after he was really approved as a prophet, he kept the laws because the enemy, the devil, tempted him, and then he succeeded. Other prophets, they didn't succeed, they have sinned. Even Moses himself, he disobeyed God. But Jesus Christ kept all the promises of God, the truth of God, the word of God. He kept it all, our example. So we in him, we will keep the commandments of God. Because it's too big for a person to please God and to follow his word 100%. But as you put your trust in Christ and his grace will enable you to walk with God. And so he kept that. And then we see what happens, what follows after this text. He will start to raise up his disciples. His disciples. And who is a disciple? Is it someone who is sitting under the feet of Christ, learning, you see, from him? And that is what he was going to do. And those people he was going to raise up, they were going to be godly men. They were not like that before. And so today you can have confidence in the work of Christ that he is also making disciples of all nations. The great commandment, isn't it? This gospel will finish with these great commandments. It's starting with the Jews, and now the mission is into the whole world. Go unto the world, telling his disciples. But who are going to go into this world? Are those who have repented of their sins, those who have become his disciples, those who follow him, who want to please him. And that is why, that is what is going to happen. And the disciples also, they are going to make disciples. In John 17, Jesus is going to pray for his disciples and even the people that will believe through their messages. And those people is me, is myself, and you and others. And then through centuries, that is what is going to happen. For the word of God is powerful. Christ today extends to you forgiveness if you have never come to know him. Also, you need to know that if you are a Christian and you have a sense that maybe you have disobeyed the Lord in certain areas, maybe your language is becoming harder with people around you, maybe you are having an attitude towards a friend or a boss, maybe you are getting into an attitude of criticism of your boss, well, you need to repent. Maybe you neglect to read your Bible and to pray. You need to repent. Maybe you come under certain bondages of unforgiveness itself. You need to repent. Even today is an opportunity for us to repent. If our hearts have grown cold, no passions for the Lord himself, our love for him has grown weary and weak, we need to repent and ask him to ignite love in our hearts for him. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom and repentance, they go together. You can never enter in and you can never remain in without knowing this language of saying sorry to God. Whenever the Holy Spirit is revealing to you areas of compromise in your life, in my life. So today, that is my encouragement to you. That the time is ripe, the time is now. And God is extending his mercy to you to believe and to trust him. He knows where you are. He knows your circumstances, certainly. And he has a time he has set to visit you and to touch you. But if you take into actions on your own, you will be yourself. You will have to work it out yourself, and it's a hard way. But the best is to repent and believe in the gospel, that Christ himself came to save sinners like you and I. Let us pray.